And I can understand your situation. I can understand.
Yeah.
Because of the way the world is and the way people are.
Yeah.
I understand fully.
Because I went to some church in North Carolina and was a white church, and they were assuming that, you know, maybe I might want to go to, you know, a black church. God don't have a black church or a white church. We all be the same, you know. I know that church wasn't for me.
Well, you see, the way
they put it, right, you know.
Let me do this before we get started. I'm gonna put the cross up here. Jesus Christ, when he died at Calvary, died for all of our sins. All of our sins were put on him. Our sin is not our problem. Unbelief is man's problem today. So the gospel that has the power of God unto salvation was committed to the Apostle Paul. The Lord Jesus Christ, in Acts chapter 9, appeared to the Apostle Paul and told Paul, when I died at Calvary, I died for all your sins. Your sins are not your problem. Your unbelief is your problem. If you don't trust that, you're going to die and go to hell. And that's just that simple, same way today. You either believe that Christ died for you, or you go to hell. Those that believe that Jesus Christ died for them, God is dealing with the church, which is his body. Paul wrote 13 books to the body of Christ. Those people that believe the gospel that Paul preached, that Christ died for our sins, they are spiritually baptized into this body. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, we are new creatures in Christ. I see you people as colored people. I see you, rest of you, as white people. In the church, the body of Christ, I don't see neither white or black, green or yellow or blue, neither does God Almighty. In the church, the body of Christ, we all have the image of his Son. You understand? All of us are equal in the body of Christ. There's no big I or little you. We're all one in Christ. Now, we're not all one on the earth. You understand?
Yeah.
Now, we can all agree with what God says, but that in the church, the body of Christ is a spiritual term. In the church, the body of Christ, there's neither male nor female, bond nor free, Jew nor Greek. We're all one in Christ. I am a member of his body. What part of that member of that body, I don't know. God knows whether I'm a toe or a hand or a leg or an arm or an eye or ear. I'm a member of his body. You know what his body is? It's the expressed image of God, according to Hebrews chapter 1. And that body, in AD 33, when Jesus Christ was resurrected, this whole body was resurrected and ascended up. And each one of you in here, if you have trusted Christ as your personal Savior, believe in the gospel of Christ, you are now seated at the right hand of God the Father in the throne room with the Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ. Beloved, that's one of our spiritual blessings.
Amen.
In Christ. And there ain't nobody can take that away from you. And you can't denounce it. You can quit coming to class. You can quit believing God. You can do anything you want to. But once you ever trust Christ as your personal Savior, you are baptized by the Spirit into this body, and you are sealed inside this body, and you can't get out of it. And the rapture takes place. We go out, get our new body. God's going to change these foul bodies that we live in. It's going to be made like unto his glorious body. We got that promise. another spiritual blessing. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, not on this earth. You understand? Now, with all of that in mind, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Appreciate you being here, and it's good to see each and every one of you. Would you join me in prayer, please? Father, we thank you for our Savior. We thank you, Lord, that you loved us and died for us and paid for our sins. And Lord, may that there's someone here that has never trusted that as their personal Savior, that there be something said this morning and the Holy Spirit will convict this person or whoever it may be, that they get this thing straight in their heart and their mind and come to a realization without Christ, they have no eternal life with thee. And Father, we thank you for this truth, and we thank you that we can put our confidence in the words that we have here before. And Father, we ask you this morning especially to be with those that are sick. We ask you to heal these people according to thy will. And Father, most of all, we ask you to get honor and glory to yourself in this class. In the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And 2 Timothy, now we've been studying following Paul versus one of the apostles, or even versus the Lord Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And if you'll study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you will figure out that there is no possible way that you can do what Jesus Christ told these people in here to do. It is impossible. Now, there's some of the things you make it handle. But when you get down to the nitty-gritty of it, in Luke chapter 6, verse 46, Jesus Christ made a statement. He said, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" And in Luke chapter 12, he told him, in Matthew 12 and Luke 12, he told a person to sell everything that they had. Sell out. You understand? What did I say, Matthew 12? It's Matthew 19. Matthew 19. Luke 18. I think in Luke 12 there's something different. He tells these people not to work. What's going to happen if y'all don't go to work tomorrow? You're going to start losing your jobs, ain't you? Don't got no paycheck or no money coming in. You can't buy nothing to eat. Can't buy no gas. You can't go nowhere. You can't do nothing. Well, he told these people here, be like the birds. They don't work, and God takes care of them. That's the opposite of what Paul said in here. Paul said in here, if a man won't work, neither should he eat. Our welfare system in this country is dead wrong. It's dead against this Bible. It did not say if a man can't work. It said if a man won't work, neither should he eat.
Yeah.
Let him get up and get a job. Listen, when I started cutting grass when I couldn't hardly even push it, and I didn't have no gas lawnmower. I had one of them kind, if you didn't push it, it didn't cut.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I wasn't tall enough to hold the handles. I put the handle under my arm. I made money cutting grass, digging worms, doing all kind of odd jobs, raking yards. There's work to be done out there if a man wants to do it. Now, you may not like it. I didn't like what I was doing. It was terrible. But I didn't get no money no other way. I had to go to work. So if a man won't work, neither should he. Well, if you do that in this dispensation, what you going to do? You're going to starve to death. You know why? That's not your instruction. These instructions here were for the 12 apostles back here in the book of Acts. They did exactly what he told them here. Acts 2 and Acts 4, these people sold everything they had, brought it at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made to every man as every man had need. Well, y'all want to start selling out? I'm the apostle. Well, that wouldn't be right now, would it?
No.
No, these people have all things common. They sold their possessions. They sold their land, their houses, everything they had. Paul told you that we're supposed to lay up. The parents are supposed to lay up for these children. Well, you can't sell out everything and then lay it up at the same time, can you? So there's differences there. So we rightly divide Paul's epistles. These who first trusted in Christ were in these covenants of promise back here, but then later on, the Lord appeared to the Apostle Paul in Acts 18 and gave him a message for people such as us that are not in the covenants of promise. We now have all the blessings that these have spiritually, not physically. Spiritually. Don't get the physical and the spiritual mixed up. Because we got people that are teaching that if you trust Christ as your personal Savior, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Not so. Those heirs of Abraham are looking for the second coming over here, and they will go in to a land that was promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob back in the Old Testament. We're not promised a land. We're spiritual beings, and we are spiritually in heaven right now, waiting for this vile body to be changed. God, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 38, He has a body prepared for every person that's in the church, the body of Christ, no matter who you are. Now, you can't beat that. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, look at verse 13. Paul talking to Timothy. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me. Now, he did not say, hold fast the form of sound words, which you heard from Jesus. He did not say, hold fast the form of sound words, which you heard from the 12 apostles. He did not say, hold fast the form of sound words that comes out of the pulpits today. Do y'all know where any sound words are coming out of the pulpits today? Y'all may think I pick on religion, but I don't. God does not like religion. You know what God likes? God likes the truth. The truth. Now, let me show you something before we go too far. Go with me to Proverbs. You'll have Psalms and then Proverbs coming back toward Matthew. Job, Psalms, and Proverbs. Go to Proverbs and take Proverbs chapter... Let me get to it here now. In Proverbs chapter 14... Verse 5. A faithful witness will not lie. Now listen, if I listen to a preacher and he tells me that I'm supposed to follow Jesus in his earthly ministry, I know the man lies. If I hear a person that tells me I'm supposed to follow one of the 12 apostles, especially Peter, I know he's telling me a lie. God Almighty told me that I'm supposed to follow the Apostle Paul, as Paul followed Christ. Paul did not follow Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry. He did not follow one of the 12 apostles. He told us that he got his message directly by revelation from the Lord. He didn't get it from one of these back here. Now, watch what he says. Verse 5, a faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. Go to chapter 12. Proverbs 12. Verse 17. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness. Well, beloved, where is the righteousness of God at today? It's in Romans to Philemon, rightly divided. You can't find the righteousness of God today in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's not there. These people here are told to keep the law. Paul told us in Romans chapter 3, verse 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. In other words, now in this dispensation, the Mosaic law is done away with. Now, chapter 12, verse 18. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Beloved, that one day the lies are going to stop. They're going to cease. God's going to take the rapture, the church and body of Christ out of here. Then he'll go to dealing with Israel in the tribulation according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These people are instructed to see this time over here, not this time here. Now, chapter 13, verse 5. Proverbs 13, verse 5. A righteous man hateth lying. Anybody in here like people to lie to you? No, you don't. But a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. Come back to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 12. And it's a reference to being a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. In other words, when Paul said he's going to go to Gentiles such as us, he suffered. He became a prisoner for us. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. He didn't say, I know what I believe. He said, I know whom I believe. He believed that when Christ met him, that he told him that, Paul, I died for all your sins. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Paul said that's the gospel by which I also received. He said that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. He said it's the gospel that I also received. Paul did not receive the gospel of the kingdom. You understand? This is the gospel of the kingdom. Looking forward to the Antichrist showing up over here, the 7-year tribulation, time of Jacob's trouble. It's a day of God's vengeance. Deuteronomy chapter 32, God said, vengeance belongeth to me, I will repay. In other words, all of Israel's lifetime back here when they were out of blessings of God, they will pay back over here in the tribulation. That is a time of God's judgment on Israel. God is not judging Israel today. God is dealing in grace today. There's a remnant of Israel and those who first trusted in Christ, but when you get over here to those that heard the gospel and trusted it, such as us, that are not in the covenants of promise, there is no more Jew first over here. Back here, it's always Jew first. Back here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's go not in the way of the Gentiles, any city of Samaritans, any of you not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Not no Gentiles involved back here, other than those that met the condition of Genesis chapter 12. I'll bless them that bless you, and I'll curse them that curse you. In here, it don't make no difference over here. Over here, God would have all men to be saved. God would have you to be saved. If you're sitting here and you have never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, and you don't know when you did, why not right now? Why not right now where you're sitting? You ain't got to get up and do anything. All you got to do is believe in your heart that when Christ died at Calvary, he died for me. He died for you. He died for all your sins. when you were born, all your sins were paid for when you was born. Do you know that? All of them. All your sins when Jesus Christ died in A.D. 33 were in the future. So if he died for one sin, how many did he die for? All of them. You mean the ones that I committed before I trusted Christ? What is all? Any of y'all sin today? Tell the truth, any of y'all sin today? Do you have a bad thought in your mind? Did you think evil of somebody? Well, every one of you are sinners. Who did Christ die for according to John chapter 5? I'll tell you what, dude. Go to John chapter 5. Because I know the attitude of the preacher today in the pulpit. He tells you that you got to confess your sins. He tells you that you got to stop doing this and don't do that. Don't go there. Don't say this. Don't eat that. Don't drink this. Don't drink that. And all on and on and on. Well, let's see what the Bible says about the church, the body of Christ. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the godly.
Yeah, Romans.
You want Romans?
Romans, what did I tell you?
Y'all pay attention to me.
I'm losing my mind. Romans? Romans, do what? Romans chapter 5, verse 6. I don't know what I told y'all. I thought this
said John.
Oh, I don't want to go to John.
I thought you were trying to trick us.
I apologize. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the godly. No, for the who? Ungodly. Are you ungodly? Are all of y'all godlike? I mean, y'all, all y'all just like God? You love your neighbor as yourself? You love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your spirit?
No.
And thy neighbor as thyself?
No.
I got some neighbors I don't love. I never will love them. I'm in a bad mess. If I got to get godlike to get saved, my Bible says that Christ died for the ungodly, and that's me. I'm still ungodly. I live in a body of ungodly flesh, and God calls it in Philippians chapter 3 a vile body. And Satan, he don't like that word. You know what he does? Changes it to lowly. Well, I've been lowly all my life. I've been on the low totem pole all my life. Ain't got nothing to do with my vile body. I got a vile body and it needs to be changed. You know why? I cannot go in the presence of God in this body. And I can't change what I am. Neither can you. Now, I can stop doing some things that I did, and I have. I hope. I ain't got them all. Y'all know who Steve Harvey is? Y'all know Steve Harvey? I enjoy watching Steve Harvey. He's trying to clean his act up. And every now and then he's a comedian. He's a colored comedian. And boy, before he started cleaning his act up, he was bad. But the Lord started working on him. And every now and then he'll stop and say, that's one of them I ain't got fixed yet. And I think about me. I'm sorry, Lord, I ain't got that one straightened out yet. But I'm trying. But you see, when Jesus Christ died for me, I was ungodly and I'm still ungodly. But he still loves me. He still loves me. Now watch what he says. Verse 8, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Did he die for me when I was still a sinner? He sure did. Verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. Where's my life at? It's in Christ. Go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Now remember, we were resurrected with him in AD 33 based on God's foreknowledge, knowing who would trust Christ as their Savior. He knew that you would be in the body of Christ. He knew that there would be a day in your life. Let's just say this is the day right here that you trusted Christ. God knew that day. Based on his foreknowledge, knowing that day that you heard the gospel of Christ, that you would trust Christ as your Savior, you were baptized into the body. The body was resurrected in AD 33. Everybody, listen to me, everybody that God Almighty foreknew before the foundation of the world would trust Christ as their Savior was resurrected in A.D. 33. Now, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, and we were, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth, for you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Verse 4. When Christ, who is our life. Where is my eternal life at? It's in Christ. You know why? Go to Ephesians and let me show you why. Go to the book of Ephesians. And I'll show you why. In Ephesians chapter 5, let's start in verse 25. That's a good verse for us men in here. Take heed to this verse here. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Well, how did he give himself for the church? When we were repentant?
No.
He gave himself while we were yet enemies, while we were yet sinners, while we were yet ungodly. He died for the ungodly. He died for sinners. I am a low down sinner. I don't know about you. You may be not as low down as I am. I'm a low down human sinner that Jesus Christ died for. Now that I've trusted that, I am spiritually baptized into his body, and I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise until the day of redemption, and I can't lose my salvation. Anybody that will teach you that once you trust Christ as your personal Savior, believe in that and that alone for your salvation, they teach you that you can lose your salvation is a liar.
Amen.
God Almighty said you are sealed until the day of redemption. Now I'm going to show you that. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Reason, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water. How? By the word. How do I cleanse my spiritual self? Paul told us in Corinthians, clean up the filth of the flesh and the spirit. Well, how do you do that? By the word of God, rightly
divided.
Paul Paul's epistles rightly divided. Now watch what he says here. Verse 27, reason that he might present it to himself a glorious church. Well, in the eyes of God Almighty, we are a glorious bunch of people. You know how I know that? I'm already glorified. Romans chapter 8, I'm already glorified. Glorification, if you go back to the book of John in chapter 11, you'll find that Jesus Christ explained to them that glorification is in resurrection. Now, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. In other words, Jesus Christ, get the picture here now. Paul's talking about a man and a wife, about a body. Love your wife as you love your body, as Christ loved his body and gave himself for it. Do you understand? He had to give himself for his own body. You understand? He died for his body. I am a member. Look at it. Verse 29. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. Well, what is that church? It's his body. You understand? It ain't the building. God don't dwell in buildings made with hands. He dwells in a human body that trusts him as their personal Savior.
Amen.
Now verse 30. For we are members of his flesh and of his bone. Am I a member of his flesh and bone? Well, his flesh and bone was resurrected in AD 33, so I was resurrected with him based on God's foreknowledge. Now take two passages. Take Ephesians chapter 4, and I'll get you the other one in just a minute. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4 first. We're going to go to Romans, but we'll get there in just a minute. Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 29, we'll just go right to the context. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Well, beloved, it would not do any good for me to come here and preach to you Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You know that? Now, I believe Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is truth. I believe it's God's word, and it's written to Israel, the Jews. It's written to his people and those that fear the God of Abraham, Isaac, and bless the seed of Abraham. You understand? Because there's some of them in here that did that, and you'll find one especially that Peter goes to in Acts chapter 10, Cornelius. How come Peter was sent to Cornelius? Because he met the conditions of Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. He blessed the seed of Abraham, and he was in the covenants of promise. So God sent Peter to him, and Peter did not want to go until God himself, not Jesus Christ, God himself showed him from heaven that he not to call Peter, Cornelius, common or unclean. So Peter reluctantly went to him. What did Peter tell him? He that feareth God and worketh righteousness. That ain't what Paul preached. Paul preached not by works of righteousness. Why? Because Jesus Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. A person that has to work righteousness doesn't fit in here. You understand? So I can't go back here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and teach that doctrine in here for doctrine for today. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, take heed. And he said, teach some that they teach no other doctrine. No other doctrine than that what? Than that you heard of me. You understand? The doctrine that we heard from Paul is to be taught until the rapture of the church, then the 12's doctrine will continue on in the tribulation over here, Hebrews through Revelation. Hebrews has nothing to do with the church, the body of Christ, nor does the book of Revelation. Jack Van Ampey, you need to get a grip on yourself. Jack Van Ampey preaches Revelations over here for here, and we are not in the book of Revelations. The book of Revelations is written to 144,000, 12,000 from each tribe of Israel. Not the church, the body of Christ.
Yes,
Ephesians chapter 4 verse 30, and then we're going to go to Romans chapter 8. Ephesians 4 verse 30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bone. Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Why I follow Paul? Because God told me to. You understand? He didn't tell me to follow Peter. In the book of John, chapter 21, do y'all know how many times the Lord spoke to Peter and told him what to do? Three times. He said, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. Lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's who Peter was feeding in the book of Acts. The lost sheep of the house of Israel. Peter was not sent to the church, the body of Christ. Peter does not have any doctrine for the church, the body of Christ. If you know of a religious system that follows Peter, you better be careful what they tell you. Because they're going to have you mixed up. Now listen, I'm going to tell you something. You can get saved in any denomination that you go to if they preach the gospel of Christ to you. You understand? The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But if you stay in that system and they teach you the doctrine of that system, you will lose your rewards. You won't lose your salvation, but you will jolly well lose your rewards. You know why? Because you're building on the foundation that Paul laid, and Paul laid the foundation of the church, the body of Christ, according to the gospel of Christ, not according to the gospel of the kingdom. Now, if you go to a denominational system and they preach that Christ died for your sins, they have to get it from Paul's epistles. You can't find it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John where Jesus Christ died for sinners. It ain't in there. You can't find it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John where he died for the ungodly. It ain't in there. Now, you can find sinners and ungodly people in there, but you can't find Jesus Christ saying that I died for their sins. Peter doesn't know it himself. Paul added it to him in Acts chapter 15. You can see it when he wrote 1st and 2nd Peter. Because in 2nd Peter, he said, Paul said some things that's hard to be understood. Peter didn't understand them. You understand? I understand them. Why? By right division. Now, watch what he says here in Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. In other words, Jesus Christ the firstborn. You understand? I was born with him, if you please. Verse 30, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. Praise God, hallelujah. I'm already in the glory of God Almighty. And I'm awaiting the day that I go to get my heavenly body. You know why? This sucker here is going downhill. I'm like an old Model T. It's gone. It's about gone. It's going downhill and I'm on a bad incline and I can't hang on much longer. My rope's getting pretty short. I'm going to have to tie a knot in the end of it and I'm going to slip off. I'm in that age. I'm in that group. When I was a little bitty fella, I didn't think nothing about getting this old. I thought people that got my age said, well, it's time to go out yonder. I remember one of my grandsons and one of his cousins at a funeral. I think it was my mom's funeral. It might have been my dad's. I'm not positive which right now which one, because they were both pretty real close, about 4 months apart. My grandson told me, his cousin said, I'll tell you how it is. Said you get sick, they take you to that home, then they bring you out here. That's about the way it is. Listen, I cannot tell you how fast it's been since as far back as I can remember till now. But it's been fast. And it's every day it gets fast. I wake up and where'd the week go? It's gone. It's gone. I used to think when I was in school, Dad, come, I wish it hurt and get summer. Now I wish it hurt and slow down a little bit. I'm sliding pretty fast. Romans chapter 8, verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate. Now, he did not predestinate nobody that he did not foreknow. You understand? Based on God's foreknowledge. And if you don't understand foreknowledge, go back and dealing with God, dealing with Abraham back in the Old Testament. He's fixing to go over there and destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And he's going to tell Abraham some things. And he told Abraham back here in another place, he said, you know, he said, this kid that's after this maid here, that's not the heir. He said, the heir's going to come from your own bowels and all. And Abraham didn't have no child. And God said, you know, shall I hide this thing from Abraham, knowing that he's going to instruct his kids in the right way? Abraham didn't have no promised seed at that time, beloved. But God knew that Abraham was going to instruct his child in the right way. So he showed him what he was going to do over there and about Sodom and Gomorrah because of Abraham's, God's knowledge of Abraham, what he was going to do. God's foreknowledge. You understand? God's foreknowledge. Now, Romans chapter 8. Verse 30 again. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Well, how did he call you? Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I mean, this is how we understand our Bible. Did he call me by the gospel in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Did he call me by the gospel that Jesus preached? Did he call me by the gospel that one of the 12 preached? Let's see if we can find out how he called us. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 14. Moreover, he called you by our gospel. How were you called? You were called by Paul's gospel if you're called. Now listen, if you think you're called by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you ain't called. You understand? He called you by Paul's gospel. For what? Look at it. Verse 14. Whereunto he called you by our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, ain't I already glorified? I sure am. My life is hid in Christ. When Christ, who is my life, shall appear, then shall I appear with him in glory. Can't beat it. One of our spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. Now, for just a few minutes, go back with me and take 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Is Paul an apostle by men? How is it an apostle? By the commandment of God our Savior. Now go to the book of John and take John and let's see something here. Chapter 13. John chapter 13. Verse 20. Verily, verily, and there's this red letter. Anybody got a red letter Bible? This ought to be red letter. You know, they really say that makes it officially the word of Jesus when the whole Bible's the word of Jesus. Now, in John 13, verse 20, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. Did the Lord send the Apostle Paul?
Yes.
Can you show somebody where he sent him? Well, let's see if we can find out where. I know one place that's fair, clear. Go to Acts 26. Acts 26. Now, Paul is giving his account of what happened in Acts chapter 9. He's standing before the king and he's telling him. Verse 12, whereupon as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest. In other words, he's going over there. He's taking people that believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the King of Israel. He's putting them in prison. He's consenting unto their death. Verse 13. At midday, O king, I saw in the way in light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. When we were all fallen to the earth, I, Paul, heard a voice speaking unto me and saying unto me in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul. And his name is changed from Saul in Acts 13, verse 9, to Paul. So Saul of Tarsus is Paul. Saul is a Jewish name. Paul is a Gentile name. Verse 14, and when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of the things which thou hast seen and of the things in which I will appear unto thee. Now watch it. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. Did the Lord send Paul? Where did he send him? To Gentiles. Go back to John chapter 13, verse 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me. Well, how do you receive the Lord today? By following the Apostle Paul. You can't receive the Lord by following the 12's ministry. You won't get it. It won't get it accomplished. You have to follow Paul. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now go to John 14 while you're here. Let's say you don't believe in following Jesus. Paul, you believe in following Jesus. Now let's just see what Jesus tells you that believe that. Verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Can any of y'all walk on water? Any of y'all raise the dead? Any of y'all heal the sick? I'm sick. You want to come heal me? Old Roberts couldn't do it. Richard Roberts couldn't do it. Years ago, Richard Roberts was on TV. I was sitting in my living room. I was watching. He put his hand up. He said, put your hand up on the screen of your TV and touch my hand or point of contact. Man, you out there in Tulsa, Oklahoma, you got a long arm. He said, put your hand up here and touch my hand as a point of contact and I'll heal you. Well, I did. But he never did heal. And he ain't healed me yet. My finger's still gone. It ain't come back yet.
You didn't have enough faith.
Probably didn't. I sure didn't have no faith in that lying scoundrel. Now, look what he says here. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Well, beloved, when Jesus Christ went to God the Father, you know what he did? He, God Almighty, wrought something in Christ when he was in the lower parts of this earth, and it's called the church, which is his body, and that church was wrought in Christ, and it is now seated at the right hand of God the Father, and you, nor nobody, nor Satan himself can take that away from me. It's mine, and I'm sealed till the day of redemption. Go to Ephesians. I told you we was going to quit by that clock, and I got 15 more minutes. No, I'm not going to keep you over time. I don't like to do that, because I'll tell you a little story about that in just a minute. In Ephesians chapter 4, well, I tell you, we'll go to chapter 1 first. Let's go to chapter 1. Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. That's those here that Paul went to, the Jew first. Six epistles he wrote to them. In whom ye also trusted, that would include us. After that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Are we sealed by the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
How long are we sealed? Go to chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Well, it would be corrupt for me to tell you if you did something wrong today, you'd lose your salvation. That would not be proper communications from God Almighty. God Almighty, through the Apostle Paul, said that I'm sealed in verse 30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. In other words, if I give you false communications, I'm grieving the Holy Spirit of God, because that ain't what the Holy Spirit told me to tell you. That's something I made up in my mind to try to get in your pocketbook or something. You understand? Now watch what he says. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. You know when the day of redemption is? When this vile body is changed and made like unto the glorious body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of us that are saved are going together. We're going to meet those that have already died before, went to sleep before us. They will be resurrected. We that are alive and remain shall be changed, and we shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. They were these two little old boys. This ain't got nothing. You ain't recording this part, is you?
Yeah.
There was two little old boys. One of them was a Catholic, one of them was a Baptist. They played together, and one of them said, won't you come go to church with me? Next Sunday, he said, okay, I will. So the little boy went to the Catholic church with his buddy, little Baptist boy. And whatever they doing, this little Catholic boy, he's explaining it to this little fellow what all that meant and everything, what was going on and all. Well, the next Sunday, the little Catholic boy went to church with the Baptist boy. And he tells them what all they're doing and all. And the preacher got up to preach, and he took his watch off, and he laid it down there. And the little Baptist boy looked over there, and the Catholic boy said, "What's that mean?" He said, "It don't mean a thing." I couldn't say what he said, because he recorded. He said, "It don't mean nothing. But my time's up, it does mean something. I started by my watch, not by that one." I appreciate y'all being here this morning. Lord willing, see you next Sunday or after rapture.